For you who are visiting with us today or might have been absent last Sunday, I challenge the Grace Community Church family to guess who the next person would be in my series, Don't Quit. In fact, I was so confident that no one would guess it correctly, I promised to give a $100 bill to anyone who emailed me this week with the correct answer. What was I thinking? What was going on in my brain? I can't believe I spent this whole week. I'm just in pure terror. Pure terror. Don't ever let me do that again. Whenever I get arrogant up here and I say something off the top of my head again, attack me. You have permission. Just come up and attack the pulpit. Just throw me back in the back room, everywhere. Oh, man, I was so glad when 5 p.m. Friday arrived because no one guessed it correctly. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. However, I was impressed with the guesses. In fact, I wish I'd thought of some of them before I had planned and prepared this series of messages several months ago. Now, I'm going to give you some of those guesses. They're not exhaustive. That's not all of them. Some of them, of course, were mentioned many times. But they were good. God? Why didn't I think of that? Satan? Shows you where some of your brains are going. Adam, Hagar, Abraham, Isaac, of course, Jacob, Ishmael, Leah, Joseph, Caleb, Gomer, Magog, Nimrod, yeah, they're there. However, I do know that we're reaching a diverse group of people. And some of the other guesses were amazing. Elvis Presley, Charlton Heston, Madonna, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, Kim and Khloe Kardashian, Chris Hemsworth, I don't know who that is. Frodo. Gandalf. Bilbo Baggins. Aragorn. Mordor. And Gollum. Now, I know that sounds like some ice cream flavors at the neighborhood yogurt place, but those are people that some of you are in tune to, evidently. I guess I should have been clearer. They have to be in the Bible, and they have to be dead. Okay? Okay, we got that straight. Okay, we're done. We're done with the guessing. Okay, whatever happens the next few weeks, we're through. We're through with that. Okay, no more. We're not going back. That's it. Okay, keep your emails to yourself. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Well, having said all of that, why don't we open a word of prayer before we get into our study today? Lord, we thank you that we can come together today. And just as the worship team led us in songs of praise and worship, the songs also talked about the fact that you're a God of strength and help in times of discouragement and stress. And you're a hope when people need help. And I know our auditorium is filled with people like that today. So I pray as we open up your precious word today that your Holy Spirit will give the help and the hope that is needed today. And may we all know you better today because we came today to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. I did not know my mother's father, my maternal grandfather. He died before I was born. I've seen pictures of him, and he looks like someone that I would have liked to have known and had spent some time with. I did know my father's father, my paternal grandfather, and though I did not spend much time with him, he always treated me kindly when I did, and he came to my college graduation, he came to my wedding. When I was growing up, my paternal grandparents lived two blocks from the beach in Hermosa Beach. That little house they once owned would be worth millions and millions of dollars today, but back in the 1940s and 50s, in the 60s, Hermosa Beach was just a quiet little beach town. I learned after my grandfather died from my oldest brother, who was 8 years older than me, the reasons why we didn't see my grandfather very much. And knowing more about my grandfather helps me understand why my father was the way he was. Many of my friends were very close to their grandfathers, and I was envious of them. I wish I could have known both of my grandfathers better. All of you have grandfathers. All of you do. Some of you whose grandfathers are now deceased wish you could have been closer to them as I wish I had been with mine. Others of you whose grandfathers are still alive wish you could be closer to them now. Many of you who may have had grandfathers that you were close to, their memory today, now that they're gone, still has a powerful influence on your life. And then, of course, there are some of you here this morning whose grandfathers are very much involved in your lives today, and you can't imagine your life without them. This morning in my second message in my series, Don't Quit, I'm going to introduce you to a very special grandfather. Most of you have heard of him before because he was the oldest man who ever lived. His name was Methuselah. When I began my series on Noah several months back, I spoke briefly about Methuselah. I said at that time that someday I was going to preach a sermon on him. Little did you know that I had already planned on speaking about him in this series, Don't Quit. And if you would have paid closer attention to my series on Noah, you would be $100 richer today. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, thank you, Lord. Thank you for people not paying attention and taking copious notes. Thank you. Genesis chapters 4 and 5 are the first genealogies listed in the Bible. Most of you are familiar with the genealogies because they are the places where you, after making a vow to read through the Bible in 1 year, stopped. Because once you started reading those boring lists of names and the ages when they died, you pooped out and quit, thinking that the rest of the Bible must be just like this. Well, genealogies, though they're not devotional or inspirational, are still very important. They help us date the events of the Bible and the fulfillment of the prophecies of God. They help us date the events of the Bible and the fulfillment of the prophecies of God. Genesis chapter 4 is a genealogy of the descendants of the first son of Adam and Eve. His name was Cain. Cain, as you might remember, murdered his brother Abel because Abel was a godly man and Cain was not godly. Genesis chapter 5 is a genealogy of the descendants of the third son of Adam and Eve. His name was Seth. Seth took the place of Abel in that he was a godly man too. And the time from creation to Noah is roughly 2,000 years. Not billions of years to allow for evolution. From Adam to Noah, people lived hundreds of years. And after the Genesis flood, the average lifespan rapidly descended to what it is today, somewhere between 70 and 80 years, according to Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. And so some of you are really on the cusp. You know what I'm saying? Some of you are on borrowed time already. Genesis chapter 5, through the Gospels, follows the descendants of Seth. Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, all the way to Jesus. A period of approximately 2,000 more years. So from Adam to the Genesis flood of Noah's day are approximately 2,000 years. And from Genesis flood to Jesus are approximately 2,000 years. And from Jesus to today are approximately 2,000 years. The earth is roughly 6,000 years old. How do we know that? From the genealogies. The earth is only 6,000 or maybe a few more years older than that. But that's it. If that's not true, then we better rip out Genesis chapters 4 and 5 and throw them away because they have no meaning whatsoever if they're not accurate. But what I want to do this morning is draw your attention to just one part of the genealogy of Seth. Remember, he's the third son of Adam and Eve. So take your Bibles, look at Genesis chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. Then Methuselah lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." Then Lamech lived 595 years after he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In particular, from that genealogy of Seth, I want you to notice one person, obviously, in that biblical obituary, and that's Methuselah. But look at verse 22, where it says, "Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah." You may have detected that Enoch then would have been Noah's great-grandfather. That would have made Methuselah Noah's grandfather. Grandfathers are very important people. In fact, I can't imagine me preaching this message or thinking of preaching a message like this or even looking at this genealogy like this before I became a grandfather. Now I have such insight into how important we are. Now, fathers are important too, of course. That goes without saying. That's a whole series all by itself. But grandfathers are fathers without baggage. They don't spank or yell. They have plenty of disposable money, and they love to spoil you. Additionally, grandfathers are much more patient with you. And that is probably because your grandfathers, since they are much older, are much wiser. They made all their mistakes raising your parents. So they have learned how to parent correctly. And so, having said that, taking the genealogies literally, Adam was alive. Adam, the first man ever created. Are you listening? Adam was alive until Methuselah, Noah's grandfather, was 243 years old. Methuselah was 243 years old before Adam died. What that means is Methuselah would have known the very first man who ever literally walked with God, Adam. As most of you know who have been at Grace Community Church very long, names in the Bible had meaning. Parents did not name their children based on what sounded good or was particularly faddish. No, there was a reason why they named their kids what they did. Methuselah, the name of Methuselah means something very interesting. It can be translated, "When he dies, it will come." When he dies, it will come. What a strange name. I mean, we've all heard pretty strange names before, but that's a strange name. Why would his parents give him that name? Now remember, Methuselah's father was Enoch. We know that Methuselah, of course, is famous for being the oldest man in the Bible, but do you know what made his father Enoch so famous? Well, think about it. Don't yell it out. Just think about it. I read to you what it was a minute ago. Enoch walked with God so closely that one day, God just let him walk all the way to heaven without ever dying. That's what it tells us in verses 21 and 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. So all the days of Enoch, for 365 years, Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. Wow. That's what I call meaningful morning devotions. When you're so in tune with God in your prayers and in your reading that he says, you know, you're so much closer to heaven than you are to earth. Just come home with me. Now, I know some of you felt that way in some of your early morning devotions, but this actually happened. Think of that. Enoch was the first person ever raptured. Elijah was the second person raptured. Someday, maybe in our lifetimes, maybe soon, all living Christians will be raptured like Enoch and Elijah. We'll go to heaven without ever dying. And the reason why is because when you put your personal faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he owns you, lock, stock, and barrel. He'll never let go of you. Someday, the church of living believers on earth will be caught up to be with the Lord in heaven like Enoch was. Now, I want you to notice an interesting characteristic about Enoch's great-grandson, Noah, found in chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, a passage we studied several weeks ago in our series, Noah. It says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Like his great-grandfather, Enoch, notice, Noah walked with God." Ever thought, out of all the people alive in the world back then, why was Noah's walk with God so much better than everyone else's? Why did God pick Noah to build the ark? I believe that this genealogy in Genesis chapter 5 answers that question. Enoch's son Methuselah, Noah's grandfather, spent 300 years watching his father walk with God before his father was raptured to heaven. And Methuselah, being the oldest man in recorded human history, lived 600 years into his grandson Noah's life. Noah knew his grandfather for 600 years. So he knew him quite well. And there we have the answer. There it is. Methuselah spent many hours with his grandson Noah. Methuselah told Noah what it meant to walk with God. I'm sure he told him about his great-grandfather, Enoch. But more than that, Methuselah demonstrated to his grandson Noah how to walk with God, just as Adam had done with Enoch, and Enoch had done with Methuselah. The impact of grandfathers on their grandchildren is huge. It's huge. And in the case of Methuselah, his great, 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 great grandfather Adam, he had done that for him for 243 years. Methuselah got to spend 243 years with Adam. 300 years with his dad. so that he could spend that time with his grandson, Noah. But hold on to your seats. Are you holding on? Come on, grab. You haven't heard anything yet. Hold on. Come on, it's going to be pretty frightening. A careful study of the genealogy in Genesis chapter 5 reveals that Noah's grandfather, Methuselah, died the very year the ark was completed. Methuselah died at the age of 969. Methuselah did not need to book passage on that ark because his name means when he dies, it will come. And of course, the it, as we know now, referred to the judgment of God by the Genesis flood. It's possible, though we don't know, it's possible that Methuselah died the very day the animals boarded the ark and the raindrops began to fall. And somehow and in some way, God told Enoch what to name his son. Did Enoch know? Did Methuselah know? I don't know. Personally, I don't think Methuselah had any idea why he was named what he was until 120 years before his death. And at 120 years before he died, God told his grandson Noah of his plans to destroy the world with water. It was at that time that Methuselah, a light bulb came on. He realized what it meant. It referred to God's judgment on planet Earth. And I'm sure that when his grandson Noah told him about his conversation with God, I'm sure Methuselah must have been so proud that God had chosen his grandson Noah to be the man to rescue the world. What grandfather wouldn't be proud of a grandson who had been given such a huge and honorable opportunity that God gave to Noah? I bet Methuselah fell on his knees and he thanked God that he, like his father Enoch, had been faithful in walking with him every day of their lives. By the way, why did Methuselah live longer than any other human being on planet Earth? Why did he live so long that no one lived any longer than him? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, why would he live longer? And now we know, because of his name. When Methuselah was 849 years old, and that's pretty old. Some of you are inching toward that. Okay. 849 years old, God told his grandson Noah that the world was going to be judged and that he was giving the people of the world 120 years to repent and be rescued. God could have built the ark in minutes, in seconds. He could have just had it there for Noah. But he said, Noah, as we look at the full record from the New Testament and Old Testament on this story, God said to Noah, I want you to preach for 120 years as you build this ark and say there's plenty of room for anybody who wants to come back to me. There's room on the ark. God chose to be patient. God chose to wait 120 more years after the world was already as bad as it could be. God patiently said, I'll wait for more people. I'll give the opportunity for more people to be rescued. And what's interesting is that once Noah told his grandfather about God's message, Methuselah knew he had another 120 years. Can you imagine being 849 years old and you knowing you have another 120 years to go? You'd probably look at your IRA account and go, I can't make it. I didn't work it out that way. It's not going to work. Social Security will be kaput by then, right? They didn't have it back then, of course. He knew, this old man, 849 years old, he knew he had 120 more years left. What would you do if you knew you had 120 more years left? If you knew you were going to live 120 more years, would that change your decisions that you make? Would that change how you would live? Would that change the priorities you'd make? Because I know that as you get older, sometimes, because I'm there, you look back, you say, man, I've made so many mistakes, I've blown it so often, and I can't go back and redo it again. I'll just quit. What good would it do? I've made too many mistakes. I'll just quit. God gave him 120 years. And Methuselah took those 120 years and he invested them. He invested them. He invested them with his grandson Noah and his great-grandsons Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The only sad note, of course, of the story is that Methuselah didn't get to join his grandson and great-grandsons on the ark. I mean, that would have been great, wouldn't it? If his name would have been, when he dies, then he will get on the boat, or when he dies, the world will be new, or when he dies, he'll already been on a cruise, or some clue other than what it was. Grandfathers are supposed to die first. That's the order of things. Grandparents, parents, and then kids. And of course, though their funerals are sad, and they should be, they're supposed to go in that order. Sometimes they die long before their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And sometimes they die long before their grandchildren and great-grandchildren demonstrate their influence. How many grandfathers have died praying for their grandkids and their grandkids have not shown any fruit of their labors, of their walk with God and their prayers? Of course, the good news is that that wasn't the case with Methuselah. He saw his grandson and his three great-grandsons. They were all prepared to enter the ark, and that's why I believe, and this is only a personal opinion, nothing to back it up biblically, I believe that God allowed Methuselah to see them enter the ark before he passed. That's only my guess. I'm a brilliant person. I'm wise beyond my years, and I'm probably 100% correct. But, I mean, wouldn't that have been great if Methuselah's just kind of maybe leaning against the tree, and Noah and the grandsons, come on, Grandpa, no. It has come. It has come. I want to see God shut the door. When I see God shut the door, then I'm going to breathe my last. I mean, that would make a good movie, wouldn't it? I mean, we could make a movie like that. Who would I play? Some of you would probably say, well, you look like Methuselah, maybe you ought to play him. Okay, well, whatever you think. But that would be a great ending to a movie, wouldn't it? Methuselah did not quit during the first 849 years of his life of walking with God. I mean, 849 years is a long time to walk with God. And Methuselah probably wondered why God would take his father Enoch to heaven when he was just a young kid of 300. I mean, his dad went out to have devotions and he didn't come home. He never came home. Methuselah never knew why his dad didn't come home. How would he ever know? His dad never came home. Life is filled with unanswerable questions, isn't it? This side of heaven, we don't know why All of you have some. Why did your parents divorce? Why did your wife leave you? Why did you lose your job? Why did your child die? There are any answers to those questions this side of heaven. But even after Methuselah lost his dad, Methuselah modeled his dad's walk. He plowed ahead and modeled before his great-grandsons and his grandson how to walk with God. How to walk with God. So Methuselah, he died well. He died in peace, knowing that he accomplished what God had given him to do. And being the oldest man who ever lived, this is why it's so significant, I think, and why I chose to include him in my series, Don't Quit. He never quit. Imagine the opportunities he had to quit. More opportunities than you and I will ever experience in our brief lifespan. He never quit. When you die, what will come? When you die, what will come? As a Christian, what will be your legacy is another way of saying it. Will there be those who have come to Christ because of your life? Will your children follow your example? How about your grandchildren? Because you see, children and grandchildren, whether intentional or not, will often think, talk, and walk just like their fathers and grandfathers. They just will. If you're a grandfather today, and some of you are, you may have failed miserably as a father. Let that motivate you even more to succeed as a grandfather. What you didn't accomplish as a father, or wish you'd have done better at as a father, let that motivate you as a grandfather. And you'll succeed as a grandfather by following the example of Methuselah, by walking with God. What does it mean to walk with God? Like what? Just exactly what it means. It just what it says. You talk with God. You're walking with Him and you're talking with Him. You're praying to Him about everything and anything. Nothing hidden. No secrets. No flowery words. No pious statements. And then you let Him talk to you. You listen to God. It's a conversation. You talk with Him, He talks with you. Today, we call the first prayer. The second, we call reading the Scriptures. This is where God speaks today. You can go in your garden all you want, all by yourself, and listen, but He won't speak. He doesn't speak through bees or birds or flowers or sunshine or clouds. You can see His handiwork and His fingerprints, but He only speaks here. Anything you pick up out there, questionable, because our thoughts are deceitful and wicked. Who can know them, the Bible says. Can't trust what comes from here, only from here. What does it mean to walk with God? It means you talk with Him and He talks with you, and you just don't quit. You carry on that walk. You just keep doing it. Year after year. Decade after decade, you don't quit. If your grandfather is still alive today, and he is a man who walks with God, follow his example. He may not be able to play video games. He may not know the names of who you like. He may not know anything about high-tech stuff at all. But there's things he does know. Watch how he lives, the decisions he makes, if he's a man of God. Ask him to tell you some lessons he learned the hard way, and then sit back for an interesting afternoon. Ask him to tell you some lessons he learned the hard way. Don't be afraid to ask his advice. He may be square, but he's not dense. Okay? By the way, grandfathers are much easier to listen to than fathers and mothers. You have never been where he is, but he has been where you are. And that's why don't be afraid to let him be part of your life. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for our time together today. We take this little obscure name in Scripture that seems obscure until we get our calculators out and start tabulating the dates. And all of a sudden, Methuselah becomes someone very important. And he's not there by coincidence. Lord, I don't know where everyone's heart is today, where empty hole is in their souls today in regards to their family and their parents and grandparents, but you do. You do. And I just pray that you'd minister to hearts today where they are. I really do. Minister to hearts today. And with your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, we're still considering this moment of prayer. Some of you do not have a personal faith in Jesus Christ. You have no assurance like Enoch had and Methuselah and Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You have no assurance at all that you'll ever be in heaven with God when you die. And if you don't have that assurance today, you can before you leave. You just have to admit that you're a sinner. You just have to get on the ark. And then you have to receive salvation that's found in the ark that we know today as Jesus Christ, salvation in him. What do you have to believe to be receive Jesus as your Savior? We have to believe that he is God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. God became in human flesh, 100% flesh, for one reason, to die on a cross for your sins, not his own. He shed his blood on a cross for your sins. He paid the penalty for your sins. For he had never sinned. And then he arose from the grave, and he's alive today. If you believe that, then the New Testament says that he is our New Testament ark. You can board that boat and be rescued. God doesn't listen to voices or lips, but he does read hearts. And if you'd like to receive Christ as Savior and Lord, why don't you just agree in your heart with this prayer? Dear Father, I pray right now for my salvation. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe all that Pastor Brian just said about him. I am a sinner. I do want him as my Savior, and I do believe that he's a resurrected living Savior today. Dear Jesus, I invite you into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. I pray that you will prepare for me a home in heaven as you promised, and then that your Holy Spirit, as you promised, would fill me until the day you take me home to be with you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming in. And while you maintain this attitude of prayer, your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, some of you are already born-again Christians, but you've made some mistakes along the way. Hey, who hasn't? Enoch did, Methuselah would have, and so did Noah. But they just didn't quit. Don't you quit. Because God will never quit on you. Recommit your life to Jesus Christ today. Remember, he doesn't read lips or hear voices, but if you want to walk with him today, again, as you once did, so you can enjoy that fellowship, then why don't you agree in your heart with this prayer? Dear Father, I apologize for doing my own thing of recent days or months, for thinking my thoughts and saying the things I've said and doing the things I've done. I rededicate my life to you. I want to walk with you again so that I can enjoy talking to you and then listening to your voice. So I recommit myself to you again today. Thank you, Lord, for all of us, Lord, for your blessed word and for your Holy Spirit that helps us understand it. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.